This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. By DC Waste and Recycling in Hillsboro. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. The Huff & Sons Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond, and Farmersville. By CTI Tech, bringing 1-gig internet to Hillsboro and beyond. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. And by Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you so much, and welcome to Sports Saturday, the first Saturday of summer 2019. Hard to believe. Glad you're with us here on FM 106. We have a very special show lined up for you today as we will continue to remember our friend Terry Tote. And it's hard to believe, but tomorrow it will be 1 month since Terry passed away after his long battle with cancer. Coming up about 9:20 this morning, we will have Dave Kane on the phone, of course, of the Springfield State Journal Register. Him and Terry, very close friendship over the years. So we will talk with Dave about Terry, and we are really happy to have in studio, she's back, Rita Frazier joining us this morning. Rita, great to see you, my friend.
It is great to be here. And as I was talking with you and Randy this morning, it's been about 8 years since I've been working behind one of these mics.
And, you know, here inside this building, it's changed, but yet it hasn't changed.
Right, right. There's so many things. In fact, if this board was turned around, I can remember Terry coaching me. My first day on the air here was January 20, 1990. And I can remember, like many of you, Terry saying that same familiar coaching, you know, advice. The safety of the free world is not at stake. So,
and that's why we have you in here today, because we want to remember Terry. You have so many fond memories of him. And that is the biggest thing, obviously, that has changed here with the passing of Terry. It just, when you're here every day, Rita, it just, it feels different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like part of me just kind of expects him to walk through the door into the studio and just things will be as they always were, but of course we know that's not going to be the case. But, yeah, I can remember sitting in this very studio being interviewed by Terry before I got hired here 15 years ago, which that doesn't seem possible. But that was the thing about Terry was no matter what your department or job was at the radio station, Terry was the one who tutored
to coach you.
And, you know, you mentioned 1990. He wasn't doing the interviewing process, I guess, at that point in time. Obviously, that came a little bit later. But there was just something like, you know, you grew up in the area, listening, knowing Terry from the radio. And I mentioned this at the funeral service, but if you never met Terry and you just heard him on the radio, you would probably think, man, that guy, he's putting on some sort of act.
He can't be
that nice of a guy, that excitable and joyous of a person, but he was.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, something else, because you and I, you thankfully have kept me in the loop with all of his health care woes and through the whole fight. And one of the things that we share back and forth are some of Terry's, the things that he used to do. One thing that I thought about, too, since his passing is the fact that, you know, it'd be dead July and the hottest day of the year, and he'd whip out the Christmas music.
Exactly right. Someone brought that up to me a couple weeks ago. They're gonna keep that tradition alive, and they were wondering, well, what song was it that he played? And I couldn't remember exactly. It was either Let It Snow or Winter Wonderland.
Right.
It was one of the two, but it worked. It's 105 degrees.
It was the Christmas song by Nat King Cole.
That was his favorite.
That was his favorite, but that's not what he played in the middle of July.
You sure?
Yes.
I thought that's the one he went with.
Whatever the song was, it sure worked. Yeah.
Because the point was, it might be 105, but let's get a snowy type of song. And that was his favorite Christmas song. That's absolutely
true. I thought it was that
true.
One. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm almost confident it was Winter Wonderland or Let It Snow, because when it's 105 in July and you're just sweating beyond belief and you're just miserable, something soothing about Oh, yeah. It will be cold again at some point.
Yeah.
But, Rita, I know you've got the list. When you left and went to RFD full-time, he gave you a sheet of kind of, I guess, his do's and don'ts, if you will.
Right. The rules to live by. And many, since he's passed, and past employees and lots of his friends, you know, knew some of these things. But anyway, this was his going away gift to me. So number one was respect and observe the prime directive, the non-interference rule. Number two, don't go where you're not invited.
That's an important one.
It is. Here it is. The safety of the free world is not at stake.
That's the one right there. You know, like when I think of Terry, inevitably, shortly thereafter, that phrase comes into my mind. Because it worked for radio. Because in this business, you're going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You're going to do something stupid on the air and feel like an idiot. But that's, you know, that saying makes you feel good. But I think also, Rita, that saying kind of encapsulates his life. You know, from the standpoint, he didn't let things keep him down. We saw that in his battle with the cancer, like he just always plugged and moved forward. Mm-hmm. You know, this is today. This is the hand I've got today. Mm-hmm. We'll make the best of it, and we'll move along.
Right.
But the safety of the free world is not.
And your favorite, Tim, and it applies, I think, timely. When is the 4th of July?
When is the 4th of
July? Can you
explain
that?
Here at the radio station, we can have a time or two where we have things sneak up on us, or like, for example, Football Friday. It's always the same every year, you know, that end of August, high school football is going to start. Mm-hmm. But yet, for some reason, for a long period of time, it like was a shock when it arrived. What? It's football? What?
Right.
Time? What? What? So yeah, when is the 4th of July just basically means when you know something is coming up, when it comes up every year, don't be surprised.
It's going to happen.
When it's going to happen. So, yeah, the 4th of July. It's June 20th. Everyone knows that.
That's right.
But, yeah, those. And he had so many, I guess, pearls of wisdom. Like, you know, because he was so well-rounded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he'll be remembered for his sports casting because he was phenomenal at that. But what I always appreciated about Terry, maybe more than anything, you know, being a farm kid, growing up on a farm, being a farmer now. He loved agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
He got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got it. He never lived in a farm. His dad worked at the elevator in Raymond for years. But, Rita, I know you being the ag director here for as long as you were now with RFD, dealing, you know, with agriculture like you do, and you're the best in the state at it. But he understood what agriculture was about. And for someone who's, you know, didn't grow up on a farm, sometimes that can be hard to grasp just because, you know, it's different. But he got it.
He did. And, you know, and I wrote something. I posted it maybe a day on Facebook, and I'm taking that down. But it was just my thoughts about him. One of the things that he did, back to that being close to where he was, being observant. You know, when the first soil was turned of a spring, he would come in and say, oh, it smells so good.
Yes. Right.
So, you know, he was very aware. And, you know, he took 127 from Raymond to here, you know, by the Butler T and into the station how many times?
Oh, goodness. You know.
So he was, he wasn't like a couple of people that we know asleep at the wheel coming south on 127. But, you know, he was very aware of really. And two, another thing is how we paid the bills around here.
Yeah, he knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he would always say, talking about agriculture and the world, countries won't go to war with you
if
you feed them.
It's true. I'm sorry. I heard him say it.
He said that
a lot.
And it is true. Like when I had never really thought about it from that perspective. And then when he said it, it's like, that makes sense. It just makes sense. But I always appreciated that about Terry, the fact that his love for agriculture, like he loved farmers, he respected farmers, and he understood what farmers did and do for America.
Right.
And he just really appreciated the work that they put in.
Well, and that's why, you know, and you, when you started working here, I always tell you this, that, you know, you're like the most positive person that's ever worked here. That's what I say, you know, but you and Terry had a lot in common, and that positive vibe that you both carried with you was evident, and the fact that you were in sports and agriculture, and there's so many correlations there. You know, the seasons, Mother Nature, it all comes into play.
It really is true, and, you know, for Terry, you know, the sports, the agriculture, but he had such a knowledge of pop culture, of music, mm-hmm. like, the space. I loved listening to him talk about the space program. Like, he could just go on and on about outer space, just right. so knowledgeable about so many different things, and it served him so well for his radio career because there wasn't anybody that he was going to interview or a subject that was going to be broached that he wasn't familiar with. You know, like,
that's true.
He just knew so many different things, and it's why he was such a pleasure to talk to
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you really would get done with the conversation with Terry and like, well, I learned something there.
Right. And the reason he was such a good interviewer is because, now I remember him telling other people here, and I probably picked up several things from him as well, is if you know people and if you're interested, you can interview anybody about anything.
And boy, could he.
For real.
He could interview, nobody could interview junior high kids as good as Terry. Because the default answer is yes, no. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that Terry would ask the quote unquote questions,
mm-hmm.
those answers weren't a possibility. And he didn't really ask, you know, questions per se. I think that's probably the biggest thing that I learned from. Like, of course you're asking mm-hmm. questions, but it's more of a conversational thing to where you basically make an open-ended point, so to speak, and then let the person that you're interviewing take it whichever way they want to take it.
Right. Right.
And I remember he always said, don't have a pre-made list of questions and just go down the questions, question one, question two, question three. Listen to the person and their answer, because their answer might just lead you in a whole different direction.
Exactly right. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how much time we have before your first break.
Go.
So, Alexa, my daughter, is coming up on her 14th birthday. One of the things, first of all, Terry was one of the most excited for me when I finally got pregnant, which is a long time coming because I didn't think I was ever going to get pregnant. And the day that I told him that, he was so happy. And then when she actually came a couple months early, she came on August the 4th, 2005, which happened to be the day that WSMI signed the contract with the Cardinals to be the FM flagship. So Terry always referred to Alexa as our Cardinal baby.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. We need to get to our first break. More with Rita Frazier throughout the hour. We're also going to catch up with Dave Kane of the State Journal Register when Sports Saturday returns, as we remember, Terry Tote.
This is Dana Black. This is Dana Black. This is Safari Land, and I'm Dana Black. One day, while on a fact-finding tour of the Amazon River region of Argentina, we were suddenly inundated with a tremendous amount of rain. While traveling in the dreaded frozen tundra of the Arctic, my caravan was suddenly stopped by an ominous-looking group of polar bears. While searching for Skylab souvenirs in the Australian bush country, my group had a frightening experience. And while retrieving these fragments, there suddenly appeared before us an animal foaming at the mouth. After a quick examination, I deduced it was a mad wombat.
My native guides and I stumbled upon one of the native kabuchai.
With our hearts beating rapidly and the sweat profusely pouring down our skin, I turned to my trusted desert guide, Pierre, and posed this question. Who wants to be the new leader?
Well, at this point, the Kabuchi natives were flabbergasted.
And boy, was he flabbergasted.
You had to have a good time. And, you know, he always said, Rita, he never worked a day in his life. And I truly believe that
mm-hmm.
was the case. You know, he wasn't just saying that. He mm-hmm. he loved
right.
radio. He loved coming to this place every day. And he did it. I can't believe he did it for as long as he
right.
did it for... as sick as he was, but he just loved radio, loved talking to people. And, you know, there's so many clips like that. He had a box of cassette tapes in his office of just old audio, and we're still in the process of kind of going through all that because, you know, now everything's digital, so you don't have to do anything in real time. But cassette tapes, you got to do it in real time. So you got to listen to the whole tape. You got to, you know, record it into our digital system and then pick through it. So it just takes time, but we're in the process of going through all of those different things. And when you hear something like that, it can't help but bring a smile to your face.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And, you know, the one thing, going back to local radio that he did perfectly, you know, I always say now, even, you know, local radio is the best way to stay connected to the, your community. During his visitation, when, you know, you walk into the Lincolnwood Gym and you see an entire gym full of community members.
Yeah.
You know, tying it all together, you know, that's why he is being remembered as he is. Because he cared not only about the radio, but he looped it all together.
He cared about the people.
He did.
He really did. And we're happy to be joined on the phone right now by Dave Kane of the Springfield State Journal Register. And this is good stuff. We got the best ag broadcaster in the state, and we got the best journalist in the state, and Dave Kane joining us here this morning. Dave, good morning, sir.
Well, that introduction, I don't know. I've got a lot to live up to now.
Oh, you'll get it done, Dave. I remember Terry, he's the first one. I remember he called you our small school guru because you always, I mean, if there's anything to do with small school, high school athletics, you are always on top of it. And you and Terry really had a special connection, you two.
Well, I appreciate that. And yeah, you know, it's funny. I grew up, you know, I grew up in Springfield in the big city, you know, and I went to Southeast High School up here and everything. But you know, when I guess it was about early 1990s where my, as we call it, you know, beat area kind of, started to focus on, I guess you'd say the smaller schools, you know, around Springfield and, you know, smaller schools, you know, I guess relatively smaller communities and things like that. And it didn't take me long to realize, you know, how important and how much those high school teams meant to communities and how much those kids meant to those communities. And Terry, you know, I think Terry grew up in Raymond, you know, so he lived that his whole life, and he knew the importance of the teams and, you know, what they meant to towns and to schools and things like that. And I mean, I think I was still probably a distant second to Terry in terms of that, you know, maybe that, I guess that enthusiasm and that appreciation, for kids and for what, you know, what they accomplished and what they were trying to accomplish and what it meant to communities and to people all around, you know, mid-Illinois.
Dave, you wrote a wonderful article shortly after Terry's passing, and I had heard you refer to him as George Bailey before, but you wrote about that in your article. And maybe for people who aren't familiar, just talk a little bit kind of about the genesis of that comparison. And, of course, the article was fantastic, but I really think that that is a great way to think about Terry. He was George Bailey.
Well, yeah, and I think most folks are familiar with it, but if you're not, there was a movie that came out, I guess it was late 1940s, called It's a Wonderful Life. And it was, it's always been considered, you know, sort of a Christmas movie because, you know, it, one of the key moments or key points, and it was around Christmas time, but Jimmy Stewart played this fella named George Bailey, and he lived in a kind of a mythical town called Bedford Falls. And the kind of the theme of it was, you know, he was always there, to lend a hand, to, you know, just to support people. And, you know, he had opportunities to move away, and for various reasons, you know, he never did. And he always, you know, stayed in Bedford Falls, and he became just so important to people, but he didn't maybe realize it until he had kind of a tough time, in a very tough time in his life. And as you know, that movie, he at one time he wished, oh, I wish I'd never been born. I'm not sure Terry never said that. He was able to see what Bedford Falls would have been like without him. And, I don't know why. I just feel that way about how, you know, Terry. Terry was just so important to that area, you know, Macoupin and Montgomery County and just all the things, you know, he did for people. You know, both, I mean, as part of the radio station, but, you know, the community of Raymond, you know, that I will always think of, you know, that soccer field that he referred to it as my field because he took so much pride in it and he knew, you know, that it was just a wonderful, asset to the community. And just, the thing was, unfortunately, when cancer, you know, became part of Terry's life, unfortunately, you know, luckily he was around long enough to maybe fully realize what he meant to people. There was just such an outpouring of support for him and admiration and everything. So to make a long story short, I don't know, I just, George Bailey, you know, was just somebody that everyone, you know, was from a small community and some, you know, everyone loved him and appreciated him. And maybe he, toward the end of his life, he realized it himself, you know. So that's why, I don't know why I just made that comparison to Terry and to George.
And he did, I think, come to realize with the battle that he was in how much he meant to people. Because he was such a self-deprecating guy that he never talked about his importance or how he was a big deal, but he never told you that he was a big deal, which made him an even bigger deal. But I remember having conversations with him in the last few months about, Terry, you have no idea how much you mean to people. And he was blown away with the fundraisers that were done and how much money was raised for him. And he couldn't believe that many people were so invested in him. And he came to realize it, and he could never really believe, I don't think, the impact that he had on people. Because he didn't do this to have an impact on people. He did it to serve the community, you know, to bring kids' stories to the forefront. But by doing that, the way that he did it, he became an icon.
Well, and like, if you don't mind, Dave, hi. Sure. Nice to talk with you and be a part of this show for sure. But also, Terry and George Bailey had this in common, that they put their families first. And all of the decisions, really, that George Bailey made was for his family and for the family business. And I feel like Terry, and his last name wasn't Tally, but I feel like this was his family also.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and that's you know Terry's wife Brenda and their two kids and now grandkids. You know, obviously, like you said, family does come first. But you know, obviously Brenda, their whole family, you know, they I don't want to say had to share Terry, but you know, they shared Terry with Raymond and Montgomery County and Macoupin County and everything else. They knew that, their husband, their dad was, he had just such a big role in that for that whole area, you know, whether it was a sports broadcast or, you know, any other, you know, community type activities or whatever. But, you know, like you said, yeah, family did come first, but he had such a huge extended family, I guess you would say, whether it was, you know, athletes or coaches or community members or whatever. So that you're right. There was family did come first, but he had a much larger family beyond that too.
Terry's voice, you know, so memorable and perfect in every way. His laugh, I just remember his laugh now. Such a wonderfully infectious laugh. But Dave, I remember it was a number of years ago, you had a little blurb in the paper. You were driving back from covering one of your ball games and you flipped on with me, and there was Terry at the Woodshed, which is the Lincoln Wood gym, and it was a wild, wild finish and he was going crazy, and you just made the comment about there's just something right about hearing Terry going wild at the Woodshed.
Yeah, I think, you know, on more than one occasion, I might be out covering a game on a Friday night, and then, you know, on my way back to Springfield or on my way home late, and you may have had a delayed broadcast, And that was just such a treat. You know, you've been covering a game yourself, and you're under deadline pressure, and you had to finish that story, and then you get in your car and you turn it on to 106.1, and it's just, you know, you're on your way back home or whatever, and it's just sort of just a reassuring, you know, thing to, you know, hey, all's right with the world. You know, Terry's telling another story here. And, I know among his many favorite phrases, you know, you talked about a wild game, but, you know, it'd be wild and woolly. We're going to have a wild and woolly one here tonight. Even before the game started, you know, he would kind of use that description. So.
And sometimes it was full of fleas too, Dave.
What's that?
Sometimes it was full of fleas, wild, woolly, and full of fleas.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you're right. I do remember that occasionally, but yeah, regardless, and I know you kind of touched upon just his enthusiasm. You know, over the years, he never lost that enthusiasm. You know, it could be you get into the dog days of the basketball season when it gets to be late January and early February, you know, where the season starts getting to be a little long. But, you know, there could be a game that time of the year for Terry. It would be, you know, because he knew his listeners, you know, to them, that was the most important game going on, was that game that he was doing. And he always, he never had a letdown, I guess you would say. Just that enthusiasm, that excitement was always there.
You know, I've had people ask me over the last few months, you know, what's the most important thing that he taught you, or the biggest lesson from a radio perspective? And for me, it was really simple from the sports broadcasting side of things. I remember this. We were sitting back in one of the production rooms here at the radio station when I first started, and he said, don't ever give a number. Don't ever give a number on the radio. Grandma and Grandpa at home can't see the number on the jersey. They want to hear their grandkid's name on the radio. So do not give a number. You give the name. And then always give the time and score. He said you can never give the time and score too much. But the number thing really stuck with me because it does make sense. Because when you're at home listening on the radio, number 23 has the ball, does you no good. Who the heck's number 23?
Mm-hmm.
Grandma and Grandpa want to hear their kid's name on the radio.
Well, and as you speak, if I can just also comment too, is that that's something that Terry and Tim both have in common. There's never a word that they speak that I don't understand. Now, when they call a game and they call sports, and remembering that audience is something that you both share.
Right, right. And, yeah, even again, you know, I talked about, you know, we always say tape delay, but, you know, the delay broadcasts, you know, those, you know, like you said, grandmas and grandpas or moms and dads or whatever, you know, they might stay up a little later, or sometimes even a game broadcast the next morning or something. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, that's every bit as important as, you know, the live game or whatever else. But yeah, like you said, that's their son out there, or daughter or grandson or whatever. That's Billy or Bobby or Susie, you know, not just a number. It's about, you know, it's about community and it's about family and all that. Yeah.
Dave, you can appreciate this because you've been on your side of the business for a long time. But Terry could recall details of games that happened 30 years ago. Like, we'd be sitting at a tournament game, and, you know, you have a line of, he's like a presidential candidate, you know, shaking hands, kissing babies. But you got people just coming up to him, and he knows them by name, shakes their hand, and then says, hey, back in 1982, I remember you did this. And I just remember sitting there in awe, like just jaw agape. How does he remember that? It was so impressive. But that created such a connection with the people over the years, because you walk away from that going, Terry totally remembered me.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. And to be on the other side of it sometimes, and I'm sure Terry would have these kind of conversations too, where people would say, to tell him, he said, I remember when you broadcast my game and I hit a couple of free throws, you know, late in the game, and you went crazy, and we still have a tape of that and things like that. Cause occasionally I'll have somebody come up to me, and I might not remember, but, oh, hey, you did a story on me when I was a junior in high school or whatever. But, you know, with Terry, he made, no matter if it was a junior high state championship game or whatever, he made, you know, he made you feel important.
Yeah.
He made you feel like, hey, that you were doing something important and that really meant something, whether it was for your, you know, your team or your community or your school or whatever. And, you know, that I know I've mentioned on more than one occasion where, you know, after a big win, maybe a postseason win for a team, you know, he would take time to talk to like, usually, you know, all the kids on a team, even if, you know, the kid who didn't really get to play much. And, you know, could you imagine that? If, you know, if you were, I don't know, however old, you know, 12 or 13 or whatever, and you have this local legend, you know, interviewing you on the radio. It's like, man, at that point in your life, that's as good as it gets. So, but yeah, he just, you know, making people feel important and significant. That was another gift that he had.
And living through the changes. You've done it, and Terry did it as well. I was thinking that too. So the paper, you guys have gone through changes, ups and downs, and being able to keep that focus while you're going through the ups and downs of print business, of the radio business, all of that. You know, I thought about that coming down here is, you know, he was still, when I came, was still dealing with the AM automation system, which was as big as that room in the conference room, you know, dealing with that and, you know, being able to go from, you know, play-by-play on a cassette recorder to the digital world, you know, a lot of people have come and gone, and he consistently
adapted.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know, you know, where you're talking about, you know, our industry, the radio industry. Yeah. But yeah, Terry was, he was, you know, I guess you would say he was sort of a traditionalist and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I don't say roll with the punches, but yeah, he, you know, whatever it took to get the job done, you know, and if it was sort of some new innovation or whatever, he would embrace it. You know, change was good sometimes.
Terry was never afraid of change at all. And we're talking with Dave Kane of the Springfield State Journal Register. And I guess, Dave, before we let go, and thank you so much for joining us this morning, but kind of, I guess if you could, I'll put you on the spot a little bit about kind of what, when you think of Terry Tote, what will be some of the things that come to your mind when you personally remember the man?
Well, just his enthusiasm, a lot of times we're talking in terms of sports and things like that, his enthusiasm and he knew the significance of, you know, young people. And I know he used that phrase so many times about, you know, sports being an extension of the classroom. And, but, you know, I think he knew always in the back of his mind, yeah, we're talking about a basketball game here, but maybe we're also talking about, life experiences that are going to help kids later on in life. And I think he always knew that. He appreciated that. He tried to, convey that thought, you know, either literally or, you know, maybe figuratively. Mm-hmm. I think you both said it too. And he would keep it in perspective, you know, on a given night. Oh, this game, this is the most important thing going on for this community or this school. But at the end, as they say, at the end of the day, the future of the Western civilization or the free world isn't at stake. You know, he would keep it in perspective. And I know that's maybe a phrase that people use a lot, but it's true. And, just his sense of humor and this self-deprecating is, I think you used that phrase at least once. And, where he never took himself too seriously. One of the stories I did, he talked about, you know, for years he would referee or umpire a lot of those youth games in Raymond. And he joked, he said, I figured I was big and tall and ugly, and nobody was going to want to mess with me. So that's why I umpired, because I know nobody else wanted to do it. So you know, why not me?
Right.
So just, I don't know, it just, I mean, all those things, and there's probably more, but just that enthusiasm, you know, for life and things like that.
Perfect. Dave Kane, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. And, hey, Football Friday will be here before we know it, man.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So it's already – I thought we're already into late June,
right.
You know. So,
crazy.
So yeah, it's hard to believe. But, hey, thanks for giving me the opportunity. And I know you try to sum up someone's life, and you always – you never feel quite adequate, but
right. –
But I appreciate you allowing me to give it a try anyway. I'm sorry I couldn't make it down there in person, but it was, I'm very, very honored to have a chance to be a part of this. And Terry's, you know, he hasn't totally left us. His spirit is always going to be around. That's for sure.
That's right. Dave Kane of the Springfield State Journal Register, join us here on Sports Saturday. And, you know, Reedy, he was talking about Terry's officiating, and it made me think about, he would talk about, he had no tolerance for parents yelling from the stands at officials. No tolerance whatsoever. And he would tell, if someone started yelling at him, he would say, hey, this is my park. I live right across the street. I got the keys. I'll shut the lights off. We're done. I'll go home. I'll just walk right across the street. I'll be home in 2 minutes. I will leave. I'll shut it down.
It. Mm-hmm.
Right? Could totally picture.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh.
So, we need to get to another break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more stories and memories of the great Terry Tote following these messages.
I got held up in traffic.
Get along, Jared. Watch the runners try to fight their way to the top of a 60-degree, 90-foot hill. You won't want to miss the excitement of this hill climbing action. 8 o'clock Saturday night. Under the lights at Nissan Motorcycle Club in White City. Take I-55 to exit 44.
Hey, Chubby, how about some time off so we can go shopping?
Oh, ho, ho, sure you can, boys. Ho, 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 back to work.
Ho, 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 someday, pow, right in the kisser.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha, and many more.
Just Russ wonderful.
Pence.
Yes. And boy, Terry, you're talking about trying to figure out maybe what some of Terry's favorite times were.
Yes.
Working with Russ Pence is at the top of that list.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, he was quite a man. I was so blessed to be able to be here when he was still playing actively. And he and Terry, you know, Russ was gentle and peaceful.
Yeah.
And, you know, that at some times at this place, that was so welcome.
Yep.
You know, to come
yes.
in and to start the day with that kind of positivity.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, positivity. Terry was so positive, and we had a caller who wanted to kind of reiterate that point that Terry was so positive when he did ball games. He never criticized kids. You know, you'll hear some announcers, you know, blaming you know, ex high school kid for whatever happened in the game. Terry was never about that.
Right.
Never about that. He was there. It was all about the kids. It always was. Every single day for Terry doing high school sports, or junior high sports for that matter, it was all about the kids. And that is definitely one of the many reasons that he was so beloved across mid-Illinois. And we were talking earlier, Reed, about his versatility. And I think of the Milk Mania. You sent me the audio a while back, and I listened to it, of course, and it is so classic. It happened out in the front of the building, and it was something we replicated it a couple different times in later years.
We actually did it here. That first one was right here.
Right.
So I was telling you how the studio used to look. But, yeah, we did do it in here. So.
The very first one, and so Terry broadcasted it.
Mm-hmm.
You and Randy Pranger, the morning mouth, as Terry called them,
yeah,
in the Milk Mania audio. You guys were in a milk chug-off, and it is an epic piece of audio. And I guess just kind of talk a little bit about that, because that's just one of the many fun things. It's why when you work at a radio station, mm-hmm. you have so much fun and you don't really feel like you worked, because you all got paid for that.
That we did. We did. And, you know, I was going to say this when you and Dave were talking about Terry doing all of those late night ball games. He never slept in the next day.
Oh, no.
So when we would come in, Randy would sign on, and I would get here early before the 6 o'clock farm show. You know, Terry was here, you know, usually well before 6 o'clock. And not just here, whistling, usually.
Oh, we're happy.
And the lights were on, and we were ready to go. But most of the stuff that we did during that time, that Milk Mania was a good example of it, was just off the cuff. We knew that Kevin was coming in and that Randy and I were going to drink the milk, and then we're kind of trying to figure it out, and Terry stepped right in, and then it became an event, you know, instead of just something goofy. Yeah, I mean, that was great.
He broadcast a milk chug.
Yeah.
And, you know, made it super
That's true.
Entertaining.
Yep.
But the famous line that I remember is he's laughing, oh, Prangle's got milk coming out of his nose. It wasn't technically accurate, though.
No, it wasn't. It was actually me. Because, you know, Randy made me laugh, and that's where it came out. Because, like I've told you, you know, my favorite of that tape is Terry does a great job. But Randy has a sense of, what would you say that is about?
It's no nonsense and dry.
Yes. So when I asked to you know, Kevin being former farm director, friend to all of us, him being there, and I said, well, Kevin, you know, what are we drinking? Wanting him to say 2% skim or whatever, and then Randy says, well, it's milk.
Milk. Milk. Yes. Thank you, Randall.
So, but back to, you know, Terry and his sports references and living life, and I'm going back to that, the rules of life that he gave
yes.
me when I left. It goes back to play to win, never play to Never play not to lose.
Yeah, that, yes. Yes, that's exactly right. And basically that means don't get conservative. Hmm. Like if you know, if you've got control of something, finish the job. Mm-hmm. Don't try to run the clock out and be waiting for the game to get over, because that never ends well.
Right. And he had that theory here.
He did.
He said that many times about what we were doing, what we were covering, right? You heard it.
Yeah, and I mean, he felt that way, like, from the radio perspective,
mm-hmm.
let's play to win. Let's crush everybody.
Yeah.
You know, leave no one standing.
Right.
No survivors. We're taking you all down.
And, as it is, this is, and I have to say this, we are a network and we have a lot of affiliates, but, you know, WSMI still sets the bar in how to do local radio to this day.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And how many years did you work here?
22.
22 years. And, you know, when you left, it was a, you know, you left a big hole in the radio station. When you left, because of the legacy you had set forth with your ag coverage. And Terry has left a bigger
mm-hmm.
hole, just because he would always tell me that Hayward told him, Hayward Talley, the founder of the radio station, that no one person is the star of the radio station.
Right.
And I've said this a number of times on the air since Terry passed away. Terry believed that,
mm-hmm.
you know, like he wasn't trying to be like any type of big on-air personality. The station is the star, not an individual. But by doing what he did, the way he did it, that's exactly what he became.
Mm-hmm.
He became the star of the radio station. He's the voice, and mm-hmm. will always be the voice of WSMI. We'll be 2 decades from now, and Terry Tilt will still be the voice
mm-hmm.
of WSMI. It's just how good he was.
Well, and all throughout this process, the last month that you guys have paid tribute and going through his memorial service, et cetera, you know, for all that he did, for all the kids out there, all the sports, all that he did for the radio station, he still was the proudest of his children and his wife, et cetera. And when Bridget, his daughter, was coming through 4-H, I was lucky enough to get to interview her a few times, and she was such a character. I mean, I don't know who she was more like, but, you know, she was a little bit of a performer like her dad. And I had her on the morning talk show a couple of times. And I can still remember one of her speeches that she gave, sort of a informative prepared speech over at the Montgomery County Extension Office. And it was about Harry Potter. She was passionate about it. And, you know, that sort of little friendship that she and I had. But one thing that Terry and I always talked about when we came in here and before the farm show was Bridget and his son and the family.
He was such a family man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you lots of people over lots of different careers have to put in a boatload of hours that, you know, takes you away from your family. But just because he wasn't there with them doesn't mean he wasn't thinking about them, talking about them. They were at the forefront of his mind all the time. So many wonderful conversations. He was so proud of his children. And I cleaned out his office. I was given that. Apparently he asked that I do it, so I did it. And it wasn't an enjoyable experience by any stretch. But as I was going through his desk, I came across, Brendan was a creative writer and would write stories. And in Terry's desk, right on the top, there was one of Brendan's stories.
Mm-hmm.
And it had like Brendan's bio, you know, that went with the story and the story. And so I, you know, put together a box of Terry's personal effects and gave it to the family. But I made sure to point out to Brendan, I said, he had this in his desk. And Brendan said, I can't believe he had that.
Mm.
You know, I can't believe he kept that. I was like, of course he kept it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, you know.
You're his life. Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. And I think it's, you know, it's one of the things that really kept him grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Was his family.
And he was a clean liver, not like the rest of us radio people. This guy was a clean, all-American, great guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
Clean liver.
Didn't drink.
Yep. No.
Didn't smoke. But nobody had a better time. Like, some people are like, I can't have a good time without a beer.
Right.
Terry had
none of
thousands
that.
Of good times, never with a beer.
That is so true.
You know, but another thing that made Terry.
Not there's anything wrong with it.
Not
yeah.
at all. But he never begrudged people.
No.
Mm-hmm. At all. You know, to each their own. Do what you want to do.
Right.
That's just not my thing.
Right.
And, you know, so again, you couldn't help but respect the man. He wasn't judging anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Live your life how you want to live your life. That's your business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm going to live my life the way I want to live my life. And he was just great. And I was, you know, talking about the safety of the free will is not a stake. The sun will come up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Was another one.
Yes.
You know, it will. Mm-hmm. And he was adamant about that. And, you know, that's what made his passing just, you know, so hard was that, like, man, the sun's not going to come up tomorrow for this great man. But he fought so hard.
Right.
So hard. And, you know, we've all got, Dave mentioned it, his spirit will live on forever. Because whether you knew him personally or listened to him on the radio, we've all got those moments with Terry that will never leave us. You know, we'll always remember him. And he was just the best. And, Reed, I want to thank you so much for coming down here this morning and joining us to talk about Terry, and I will give you the floor here as we wrap up.
I would just leave you with this. Thank you for the opportunity. And one of his rules that he gave me, this is number 10, Joni Mitchell was right. We're all just stardust.
We're all just stardust. That's exactly right. And, yeah, I've mentioned this before, but, you know, this summer, Moon Day, he loved Moon
true.
Day, July 20th. 50 years this year, and he would have had a really good time reminiscing about 50 years since we landed on the moon.
Yeah, and he always would do that on the forecast, too. Do you guys still do that?
Stardate, Star Trek style. Yes.
Yeah. Thanks, Tim.
Rita, thank you so much for coming in as we remember our great friend Terry Tote, who passed away on May the 23rd after a lengthy battle with cancer. We will continue to remember Terry throughout the summer here on Sports Saturday. Coming up on 4th of July weekend, we will rebroadcast his championship call of the 2009 Lincolnwood baseball championship. That'll come your way 4th of July weekend here on Sports Saturday on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. Thanks to Dave Kane of the Springfield State Journal Register. Thanks to Rita Frazier with the RFD Radio Network. I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done here on FM 106.